Welcome to Studio Classroom on the Air. This is the place to come when you want to have some fun. My name is Rebecca. Well, this is the place to come when you want your English to improve as well. Have you ever felt like no matter what you do, you can never do enough? And then you begin to feel this guilt. You think that you should do more, so you try hard to do more and more. But actually, this is not a very healthy way of thinking. Today's lesson is called guilt. So we're definitely going to be discussing guilt and how to free yourself from this unhealthy guilt. So we're going to talk about balance feelings, exercise humility, and of course, offer forgiveness. Friends, I know that you have your magazines, but make sure they're open to today's lesson. And let's get started.
Guilt. The proper response to guilt depends on what kind of guilt you're dealing with. For false guilt, it's important to recognize that the guilt does not reflect an actual ethical failure. For example, some false guilt focuses on failing to meet expectations you had for yourself. In this case, it's important to remind yourself that you have limits. No one is perfect, and no one can do everything. So admitting your limits is actually a sign of humility. It's also important to acknowledge what you are feeling.
Hi everyone, welcome to Language Lab. 首先我们看的是 ethical 这个形容词。Ethical 是指道德的或者是伦理的。例如 genetic treatments can involve complicated ethical and legal issues.基因治疗可能会牵涉到复杂的道德以及法律上的问题。Ethical 也指合乎道德的。例如 This congressman is an ethical and trustworthy person. 这位国会议员是位道德高尚而且值得信赖的人。如果把字尾的 AL 去掉 ,Ethic 就是名词，意思是道德行为准则或者是伦理系统。例如 Discussing a patient's condition violates doctor's medical ethics.讨论患者的病况违反了医生的医德。接下来我们看的是 humility 这个不可数名词 ,hum 这个字根是指地面。所以 humility 就是指谦卑或谦逊。例如 Hugh Jackman is admired not only for his talent, but also for his humility. 人们不仅欣赏休·杰克曼的才华也欣赏他的谦逊。或者是 Britney's parents taught her humility by being examples.Britney 的父母亲以身作则教导她谦虚。她的形容词是 humble,H-U-M-B-L-E。例如 Max is quite humble about his achievements. Max 对于自己的成就非常的谦虚。
Well, today we are going to learn about the proper response to guilt. And I think this is very important because oftentimes I do believe that people might respond to guiltin an unhealthy way. So our lesson says the proper response to guilt depends on what kind of guilt you're dealing with. For false guilt, it's important to recognize that the guilt does not reflect an actual ethical failure.
Right. So the idea is that you didn't actually do anything wrong. If you did something wrong, that would be an ethical failure, according to our lesson.But often there's like a false sense of guilt. Maybe somebody else is making you feel guilty.
Oh, so could that kind of be like a guilt trip?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Lots of people give guilt trips. And we've all gone on guilt trips at one time or another, right?
Right, exactly. Now, the idea behind this word guilt trip is that you get this strong feeling of guilt becauseSomeone makes you feel like you did something wrong or that you forgot to do something. But oftentimes, that isn't really the case.
Exactly. And so if that happens to you, if you feel like someone is giving you a guilt trip, then you could say simply, please don't give me a guilt trip. Say what it is. Tell the person what it is. Because nobody likes to be accused of giving others a guilt trip. You know, I did see a kind of a funny cartoon. It was a psychologist and a patient speaking of guilt trips. And the psychologist is saying, after all these years, you still feel guilty? You should be ashamed of yourself. He's giving a guilt trip.
He is giving a guilt trip. That's right. Well, anyway, thank you for that illustration. But let's look at another example in our lesson. For example, some false guilt focuses on failing to meet expectations you had for yourself. In this case, it's important to remind yourself that you have limits. And oftentimes when people fail to meet expectations they have for themselves, they might beat themselves up. So I think it's very important that you don't beat yourself up. Now, what does this mean? When you beat yourself up, it means that you blame or criticize yourself in a way that is very unfair and unreasonable. So don't do that.
And friends, this phrase doesn't mean that you're beating yourself up physically, okay?
No.
It's talking about emotionally or mentally or just getting really disappointed in yourself, okay? You made a mistake, but don't beat yourself up. Live and learn. Or you could use it like this. He failed the test by 1 point, so he's beating himself up.
Right. Don't do that. If you fail the test by 1 point, or even if you just fail a test, don't beat yourself up.
Yeah.
There's always an opportunity to try again. If you spill the milk, who cares? Clean the milk up and continue living your life.
Yeah, don't cry over spilt milk, right?
Right.
Don't beat yourself up. So friends, everybody has expectations for themselves. Sometimes we don't meet those expectations. Don't beat yourself up. We continue here. In this case, you need to remind yourself that you have limits. No one is perfect and no one can do everything. So admitting your limits is actually a sign of humility. Nobody can do everything. Sometimes we need to be reminded that none of us is Superman.
Right. And let's take a look at that word, a sign of something. Now, typically when I hear the word sign, I think of a road sign or something that symbolizes something else. But here in our lesson, a sign of something is just something showing that something else exists or might happen in the future.
That's right. So for a perhaps a physical example of using this phrase, you could say a pink sky in the morning is a sign that there is a storm somewhere on the way. But our lesson is talking about humility, so that's kind of a personality or character trait. Remember a few months ago we were learning about depression, right? Well, here's another way you can use this phrase. No interest in usual or common activities is a sign of depression.
That's right. Now, Gabe, have you ever met anybody that acted as if they were perfect and acted as if they had it all together?
Yeah, I have. And sometimes I've acted like that as well. And I have to say, they're not the most pleasant people to be around. Partly because it's like it's not interesting.
Right, because they act like they're perfect.
Right, and you want to talk to someone who's not perfect and who can kind of admit that so you can have a more fun and natural conversation and relationship.
And sometimes I think it can make other people uncomfortable if they're around people that act like they're perfect.
Right.
So, you know, when you can admit that you have limits, this is actually a sign of humility. And our lesson says it's also important to acknowledge what you are feeling.
Well, sometimes our feelings are neither here nor there.
Ooh, that's a great phrase. Let's learn more about that in the
InfoCloud.
Hello, friends. Welcome to InfoCloud. Have you ever been in a discussion or argument with someone and they bring up something that you feel isn't important?
You can say that that thing is beside the point, meaning that it isn't the important thing. Or you can say, that thing is neither here nor there.
I know she is frequently late for meetings, but that is neither here nor there. The problem is that she always promises more than she can handle.
This is a good example. Carolyn identifies what many people might consider to be a problem, a coworker that often can't make it to meetings on time.
And that certainly is a problem. But when I say that it is neither here nor there, I mean that the problem isn't that she is late, but something else.
We can also use this expression to dismiss something that isn't important.
For example, if I say, Jack is thoughtful, but that is neither here nor there. The problem is that he doesn't take direction well. That means that Jack's thoughtfulness doesn't lessen the fact that he has a problem with directions.
这是一个非常特别的说法。Neither here nor there. 不在这里也不在那里。字面上听起来有点奇怪，但背后的含义是指一件事情根本不重要，几乎像是不存在的。She's late, but that's neither here nor there. 虽然她迟到了，但那并不重要，重要的是她的工作绩效。这个片语听起来像是现代流行语，但其实最早出现在第16世纪宗教改革家约翰·加尔文的一篇讲章当中，所以算是已经流传了几百年的用语，相当有意思。这就是今天的 InfoCloud， 我们下次云端见。
Studio Classroom is on the air.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Studio Classroom. Now, do you ever feel guilty for not practicing your English? Or do you ever feel guilty for not getting a good grade or the grade that you wanted to get? Well, please, don't beat yourself up. You have an opportunity to try again. Friends, we are talking about guilt and false guilt and how sometimes we feel guilty for things that we shouldn't feel guilty for. Well, let's continue learning right now about guilt.
Guilt. Even when you don't need to feel guilty, these feelings are real and normal. Try to balance them with positive thoughts, but realize that it often takes time for feelings to change. It's possible that you feel guilty because you actually did something wrong, or didn't do something you should have. If so, don't try to conceal it. Apologize and ask for forgiveness. Learn from your mistakes and try to avoid committing the same acts again. Being reconciled with the person you hurt should make your guilty feelings fade. Guilt is painful, but it can serve a good purpose if you use it well.
OK, 接下来我们看的是 conceal 这个动词 ,C-E-A-L 这个字根有隐藏的意思。所以 conceal 是指隐藏或隐瞒。例如 ,The attorney was charged for concealing crucial evidence. 这名律师因为藏匿关键证据而被起诉。或者是 Kathy tried to conceal her disappointment with a shrug when she found out she hadn't gotten the promotion.当 Kathy 知道自己没有得到升迁时，她试着用耸肩来隐藏自己的失望。Conceal 也指遮住，例如 The reporter concealed his microphone with a tie. 这名记者用领带遮住了麦克风。最后我们看的是 reconcile 这个动词 ，re 这个字首是指再度，所以 reconcile 是指使和好、和解或者是复交。若要说明跟谁和好的话，常常是用被动语态。例如 ,after years of no interaction, Betty and Veronica, who were once best friends, were finally reconciled. Becky 和 Veronica 这对以前的挚友不相往来多年之后终于彼此和好。Reconcile 也指调和，例如 Sometimes it's hard to reconcile business interests and creativity， 有时候要融合商业利益跟创意是很困难的。 And now let's get back to our teachers.
Okay, so our lesson says even when you don't need to feel guilty, these feelings are real and normal. What feelings are we talking about?
Well, the feelings of guilt, right?
Right. You know, sometimes you don't need to feel guilty, and yet you still feel guilty.
And so the idea here is, we read, try to balance them with positive thoughts, but realize that it often takes time for feelings to change. So, of course, just a reminder, you need to acknowledge your feelings, but know that some things take time to change.
And our lesson says it's possible that you feel guilty because you actually did something wrong or didn't do something you should have. And so if you actually did something wrong, you might feel guilty. But there's another word that we want to share with you. And that is the word to feel convicted or to have a conviction about something. What does this mean? Well, this just means that you have a strong opinion or belief about something.
That's right. And, you know, sometimes we use this word in relation to the police or the law or a court. They might use this word. The person was convicted of a crime. Now, everybody knows he did that crime, right? But when we're talking about our consciences and our feelings, we also use this word. And as Christians, we use this word to talk about sometimes God giving us a feeling about something or God letting us know what we did or what we should do.We might have a conviction to do something.
For example, like for me, I have a conviction not to watch certain types of movies. Mm-hmm. I don't like horror movies. I don't like movies that show people killing other people in an unhealthy way, because to me, these are very dark movies for me. So that is my own conviction. Mm-hmm. But somebody else might be able to watch those moviesWith no problem.
So that was a great example of how to use the word conviction. And sometimes we feel convicted, okay, to use that word convicted. We feel convicted because of something that we did wrong. Speaking of these words, this reminds me of a couple months ago, we were learning about a man who opened an orphanage in Africa. Mm. He was a very wealthy person, and he felt convicted that he had all this money, and he wanted to use that money to help other people.
Exactly. Okay, so back to our lesson here. It's possible that you feel guilty because you actually did something wrong. Mm-hmm. And the next sentence says, if this is so, or if so, don't try to conceal it. Apologize and ask for forgiveness. Learn from your mistakes. Now let's talk about this phrase, learn from your mistakes. You can use this when you want to talk about how you made a mistake, but then you learn from it so thatyou won't make that same mistake again.
So it's kind of like that phrase we talked about earlier, live and learn. It's important for us to live and experience things and try to learn from our mistakes, right? And I also want to add, mm-hmm. learn from others' mistakes as well. That's the point of history. A lot of people think history is boring, but actually, if we studied history more in depth,then we can learn from other people's mistakes so we don't make those same mistakes.
And hopefully, when you ask for forgiveness or apologize, you can be reconciled to the person that you hurt. Well, let's read the last sentence. Guilt is painful, but it can serve a good purpose if you use it well. Now, to serve a purpose just means that it has a very important particular use.
Yeah, for example, everybody wants to feel useful, right? I know some people, when they haven't worked for a long time, they feel like they've stopped serving a purpose. Well, that's not true. God has His timing, His perfect timing for you. Well, I know something else that serves a great purpose here at Studio Classroom, and that is
a review skit.
Well, thank you for coming. How can I help you?
Well, Doctor, I'm experiencing a most painful emotion.
Oh, can you Describe what you feel.
Yes, I feel guilt.
Guilt is a very common emotion.
Well, guilt is a terrible emotion. I feel just awful.
Well, nobody enjoys feeling guilty, but guilt serves an important purpose.
It does?
Well, it alerts us when we have done something wrong.
Is that important?
Of course. It enables us to make amends, heal damaged relationships.
Well, that does sound good.
It can also motivate us to avoid making similar mistakes later.
That's good too.
Well, nevertheless, guilt can be destructive if it is not dealt with. It can cause you to avoid others because you're too embarrassed to apologize.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Some try to avoid the pain by turning to other worse habits.
Oh, no.
Others try to cover up their guilt by blaming others or becoming angry.
Oh, no. So how can I deal with my guilt?
The proper response depends on what kind of guilt you're dealing with.
Oh.
Is it false guilt, or did you actually do something wrong?
I actually did something wrong. So very, very wrong.
Does your guilt involve another?
Yes. I hurt my closest friend, and now I can't face him.
Well, don't try to conceal it. Apologize and ask for forgiveness.
Ask for forgiveness?
Yes. And learn from your mistakes.
Well,
being reconciled should make your guilty feelings fade.
You're right. I'm going to make amends right now.
Well, okay, but she just left. Oh,
little Howdy, I'm so sorry. I gave away your favorite chew toy. Can you forgive me, please? She said yes.
Gabe, why do you have a pillow?
Well, our lesson reminded me of that old French proverb, no pillow is as soft as a clear conscience.
I got it. So a clear conscience is very important.
Yeah, it'll help you sleep at night.
Well, that's good. Well, friends, next time you feel guilty, what are you going to do about it? I hope that you decide to deal with it in a healthy way.
I should probably return this to the person I stole it from.
Yes, you can have a clear conscience.
Right. Thank you for joining us, friends. We'll see you next time right here on
Studio Classroom. A friend cares at all times. Yours at all times. A good friend lasts a lifetime. I am so proud to have you in my life. A good friend lasts a lifetime.